Visiting today with Dan Hallstrom at the USMEF Meat Federation. Well, I tell you what, we had some record good months for beef exports in November. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think November was a really good sign. You know, we were up 6% year on year and had one of our largest months, at least until early spring, which was really, as far as export stats are concerned, pre-COVID. So yeah, it's encouraging to see a rebound in some of these key countries. And, you know, one that stands out that is Mexico. And, you know, Mexico's been struggling. And just in all fairness, they were one of the last regions, Mexico, Central, South America, the Latin American region, was one of the last regions to really be impacted by COVID. They were several months after the U.S., let's say May and probably more like June before the lockdowns really started. So, you know, the tourism shut down in June and you know, a lot of course, U.S. beef is very strong at food service globally, but especially in Mexico and Central America. So it's encouraging, and I'm not saying that things are back to normal. They're nowhere close in Mexico, but I think it's the first signs of a rebound, which is encouraging to see. I think it sets up well to, you know, that in 2021 here, we should see further rebound.
Well, pork exports also did really well and continue to do well.
Yeah, pork came in with another big month, about the same as a year ago, 260,000 tons roughly that were exported globally. And it also set a new annual record, even though we only have 11 months of data, a new annual record, which we expected. We're gonna see growth for the year at 14 or 15% up. Now, a lot of that's driven by China, especially in the first half of 2020. But there is other areas of growth on pork too. It's not only China. Dramatic rebound in Mexico. The pork rebound in Mexico has been going on for several months now. It's a bit ahead of beef, and that's probably because they're less reliant upon food service. Japan's done well. They continue to see growth in some Central and South America countries as well. So yeah, the broad-based growth in pork is really a pretty good story as well. And of course, China continues to be taking some relatively large quantities too.
Well, you touched on this just a little bit, but even though beef's been, you know, pretty solid throughout this, do you actually see this as kind of a comeback, that we are coming back from the pandemic kind of all around?
I think so. And it really, the answer to your question is, it depends on what part of the world. You look at Asia, Vietnam, China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, most definitely they're rebounding and they're not back to normal, but virtually back to normal. I mean, there are no lockdowns at food service. You know, consumption, you could argue, is maybe still lagging, but much better than it was, you know, a few months ago. But then Latin America, on the other hand, as I just alluded to, is way behind the curve, and it's going to be some time before they fully rebound. And then there's a lot of other parts of the world that are somewhere in between. So, yeah, I think we're forecasting on beef that while we're going to end up down, and when we get December stats, we're going to be down 3 or 4% probably on beef for 2020. But we're really anticipating a large rebound for the year of 2021. And our forecast right now is 10% growth for 2021, which would be a new record over 2018. That being said, there's a big old caveat out here that, you know, it's going to be a rocky road. I mean, it's not going to be seamless. I mean, we're going to have ups and downs. There's probably no better example than Japan right now. Japan looked pretty good in their COVID rebound. And then, you know, the last 30 days, they've been in an emergency shutdown order. So a lot of these countries are having re-spikes, you know, third and fourth spikes. And I think that's the world we're going to live in some of these countries. So it's going to be a bit of a rocky recovery, but overall, pretty upbeat for 2021.
Well, so that is pretty upbeat news. So looking with beef and pork, do you actually think these kind of record numbers are going to continue for the next few months or kind of die off a little bit and then come back big towards the end of 2021?
Well, I think on beef, the further we go into 2021, the potentially the better it could get, just because time's on our side in terms of a rebound. I think on pork, we're forecasting on pork maybe a call it a couple of percent, 2-3% growth for the year. Probably front loaded because we think China will have another big year. It won't be as big as this year. Not as big as 2020. We're forecasting probably a 15-20% drop, but still would be a very big year. I mean, if it's down 20%, it's still the second largest year ever for pork exports to China. But we think China is more front loaded versus back loaded. So it kind of depends on the species. But overall, you know, if you look at the year in total, the way we're looking at it right now, we see broad-based growth really in a lot of different countries. As I alluded to earlier, your big countries like Mexico, Japan, Korea, no reason to think that there's not pretty solid demand there. China will continue to be good, albeit at a lower level for pork. And of course, on beef, China's booming. China could very well be one of the big beef stories again in 2021, like it was in 2020.
Well, and I know a lot of people were kind of surprised to see how well lamb exports are doing in Japan.
Yeah. Yes. Japan and Taiwan is another one that has a lot of potential in Asia for lamb and of course your NAFTA countries are really the bread and butter for lamb, and we saw huge growth in 2020 and into Mexico in particular. So yeah, I think there's some very good things going on there that should continue as we go into 2021.
Well, how does a new administration affect export numbers, or does it?
Well, you know, it's too hard to tell. I mean, it'd be speculation. I mean, there's a lot of things being said in the press, you know, the Green Initiative, you know, and this sort of thing. But this is really nothing new. These are trends that we knew were there anyway. And I don't know that it really impacts things. At least today, it doesn't look to be like it'll be a major impact. As it relates to the policies and ongoing initiatives like the U.S.-UK free trade agreement negotiations, the Kenya free trade negotiations, these sorts of things, of course, we're hopeful that all continues. The career people that are still in place and have been, you know, they're very well aware of the priorities of from an export standpoint of the beef, pork, and lamb industries. So there's a lot of reason to think that there'll be, at least short term, you know, very little impact in that regard. And I got to go back to what really drives the demand globally are the supply and demand basics or supply and demand structure that's already in place. And the reality is demand's growing globally. With or without COVID-19, it's growing globally. And, the supply, we have supply in the U.S. of high quality grain-fed products. So that match alone is a very good formula for success. And of course, we're very hopeful that, we can make some gains on access and in some key areas with the new administration, but that'll be played out over time.
Do you think there's any positives that have come out as far as like the pandemic, where people are actually wanting more U.S. beef?
Yeah, Casey, that's a great question. And yeah, I think there's a lot of positives. One obvious one is, this booming demand for e-commerce online platforms. I mean, this was a trend pre-COVID back in 2018 and 19 that we really saw probably more evident in Asia. Places like Taiwan, places like China, places like Korea. Korea is probably the one I should have led with. Korea is the front runner. And these were a lot of trend lines there that were being driven by convenience, the desire to not have to to go to the store and fight traffic and blah, blah, blah. You know, the convenience demand trend of online platforms was booming prior. So put COVID-19 over the top of this in the last year. And, you know, the desire for minimal contact or no contact platforms for delivery, for pickup, just tenfold, take it times 10, whatever was there before, it's busting at the seams in terms of demand. So obviously when we get into some sort of normal post-COVID environment, which the vaccines being rolled out globally now, or we're seeing the very beginning phases of that, whatever the new normal looks like, I got to think that a lot of this, change in the last 12 months for in regards to e-commerce, the online platforms, a lot of that will stay, and it'll just be another avenue to market our products globally. And you know, that's probably the best example I can think of that sort of change is here to stay.
We probably should have bought stock in DoorDash and Zoom and Postmates.
Right. Yeah, you could go right on down the list, right?
Yeah, because it sure made it convenient for the whole world, really. I mean, it's just easier to get your food now, and if you don't want to go anywhere, you don't have to.
Yeah, I do need to point out, I don't see it replacing this other demand. I see it complementing it because retail's booming as well. You know, in-person retail, you know, in places like Korea, places like Mexico is booming. And, you know, really the real home run here is that I think in a lot of aspects, this additional demand is just that it's incremental. Some of it, not all of it, but some of it will be incremental in the end, which will be good for all of us.
Well, we're trying to stay positive for 2021. It's been a rocky start so far, but I'm still hopeful, right?
Exactly right.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Anytime. Thank you.